The Life of Mary Southern, the dramatic and startling story of a young widow who is trapped between two worlds. She is deaf to the voices of the living and heeds only the voice of the dead. Life of Mary Southern. Mary's love for her husband, Max Sanders, was so great that she found it impossible to accept the fact of his death. His voice echoing in her heart was more real than the voices of her friends. And recently, she left home and journeyed to the city of Craig's Falls, convinced that Max was urging her to follow him. In Craig's Falls, a young man named David, whom Mary trusted instinctively, has befriended her. But after Mary's friends and Sanders offered a reward for information about her, David's friend, Father Brady, insisted that John Benson be notified immediately. Benson, however, was inclined to doubt that Mary was in Craig's Falls, for it was the third call he had received within 10 minutes from people claiming to have identified Mary in three different towns. Now, it is a few minutes later. John Benson has just entered Daddy Stratford's room in the Stratford Hotel. Daddy and his son, Benny, greet Benson eagerly.
Hey, Doc, what's all this about Mary being in three places at the same time?
Young Doc Cartwright just spoke. He said you were setting out for three different towns to find Mary.
Yeah, I thought I told you to go to bed and stay there, Daddy Stratford.
Well, I was in bed. Until Doc Cartwright phoned us. I got up because I'm going with you to meet Mary.
I've been telling him he's too sick to go, Doc.
Danny's going with me. You're not setting foot outside this room till that cold's better, Daddy.
What will Mary think if she don't see me?
Mary will understand if I find her. But I'm none too hopeful. She can't be in three places at the same time. And probably she's in none of them. The man who phoned from Millerville sounded like a thug. That's why I asked you to go with me, Danny. If Mary is there and we turn over the reward money in cash, it'll be just as well to have a witness.
It ain't fair to keep me home now. With all these exciting things going on.
Now, I'll uphold the honor of the family name, Daddy. I'll show him a Stratford can lick any crook in the country. Come on, Doc, let's get going.
Well, now, say, wait a minute. You ain't going without my $100. Here it is, John, and I sure wish it was more.
Thanks, Daddy. I wish I didn't have to take it.
I stopped at the bank on my way over here and drew out our $100. Gosh, it seems tough that you have to put up all the rest, Doc.
I'd give a lot more than $300 to find Mary.
I know you would, Judge. Now, will you phone me the minute you find her?
Will we phone you, Daddy? We'll burn up the wires. We'll call out the town band. We'll blow all the fire sirens.
Yes, Daddy. We'll let you know the minute we have any real news of Mary. Now, you get back in the bed and stay there.
Well, now, John, you told me... You ain't told me about the other two phone calls. Yeah, I'm mighty puzzled about them.
So am I, Daddy. But we'll investigate one after the other. The only one I'm really hopeful about is Fulton Hospital.
Hospital? Well, Mary ain't sick, is she?
Well, it appears, Mary, she's suffering from some slight shock, but otherwise all right.
Oh, gosh, I'm glad of that. Where was the sad call from?
That was a man who said he was a Father Brady, a priest in Craig's Falls.
Say, do you think it was another crook after the reward money, you know, pretending to be a priest?
Maybe I'm too suspicious, but it didn't quite ring true, his asking you to meet him at a settlement house on Front Street. Saying he wanted to talk to me before he took me to Mary.
Front Street, huh? Well, that's the worst neighborhood in Craig's Falls. It's in the slums down near the waterfront.
Yes, that's why I'm suspicious of this so-called Father Brady. Well, let's go. We'll phone you, Daddy, the minute we have news.
Good luck to you both. I'll be waiting here, and if the good Lord hears my prayers, you'll find Mary before nightfall.
And at the same time in Craig's Falls, Mary's new friend, David, is still with Father Brady at the settlement house. It's a short while after Father Brady phoned John Benson. David is worried, and Father Brady is puzzled.
That was a curious conversation. I don't understand it.
Well, wasn't this Dr. Benson grateful to you for phoning about Mary, Father?
Oh, on the contrary, he sounded resentful or suspicious of me.
There was something queer going on. Her friends advertise for information about her. They offer a reward, and then when they're notified that she's safe, they lose all interest.
I don't think it's a lack of interest, David.
No?
As I said, he sounded as if he didn't believe me. Perhaps I wasn't convincing.
What more could you say? You told him Mary was here. If he doesn't want to come, it's all right with me. And I'm sure Mary doesn't want to go back to that town of Sanders anyway.
I don't think Mary is in any condition to make that decision now.
Oh, but she's improving every day, Father. She's so much better than she was. Haven't you noticed how happy she's been lately?
Yes, David, I have. That's one reason I thought it was wiser for us to talk to her doctor before he sees her. I wanted to know what you've done for Mary. And
well, I haven't done anything.
Well, not consciously, perhaps. But I've noticed that whenever she's with you, she becomes calm and serene. It's important for a doctor to know that.
Well, you see, that's only because I remind her of someone she used to know. She keeps staring at me, not as if she's seeing me, but somebody else.
Whatever the reason, your influence over her is definitely helpful. And I think her doctor will be greatly interested.
Well, I hope he never comes. Just before I came here today, Mary begged me not to send her away. She said she was happier than she'd been in weeks. And, Father, she wants to help you here in the settlement house.
Children would trust her instinctively.
Sure they would.
And so would their mothers.
Yes.
She's an ideal type for social service work. Sympathetic, understanding, and intelligent.
Yes, and I could help too, Father, if you'll let me help with the older boys.
Isn't this rather sudden, David?
What, my interest in the settlement house, you mean?
Yes, it seems to me I suggested it several times in the past year.
Well, I know, but lately, well, things have seemed different.
Things?
Well, I don't know what it is. It's hard to explain. I guess maybe I always feel more ambitious in the cold weather.
Yes, perhaps it's the weather, but then...
I don't want to waste time talking about myself. I'm worried about this doctor who's coming to take Mary away. Who is he, anyway? Maybe he's an enemy, not a friend.
I doubt that, David.
Well, I'm sure she doesn't want to see him. I hope he didn't believe you when you phoned. For Mary's sake and mine, too, I hope he never gets you.
Doc, there's the place we're looking for. 73 Vine Street.
Good.
Gee, this is certainly an awful neighborhood. Millersville, too.
Sure.
I bet you're right about this guy being a crook.
Well, we'll soon know. I'm going up there and ring the bell.
Sure you don't want me to come with you, Doc? You know, the guy may have a gun.
I'll risk that. Now, keep the motor running, Danny. And if anything happens to me, drive to police headquarters.
Okay.
If Mary's really here, she can bring the money in. But I'm not taking any chances of losing that.
Well, I'm keeping this wrench handy, and I'll slug the first crook who tries to get that money. Gosh, I hope you'll find Mary, Doc.
So do I.
What do you want?
Open the door. I'm Dr. John Benson of Sanders.
Okay. Come right in, Doc.
I haven't much time. I'd like to ask a few questions first.
Well, I told you that Mary Sanders was here, didn't I? You bring the $500?
Yeah. But I want to ask one question that will make the identification certain.
Well, what is it? Woman's sick, I tell you. You ought to get in to see her. Say, is that fellow with you? The guy down there in the car?
Yeah, it's a friend of mine. When I gave a description of Mrs. Sanders to the papers, I forgot an important mark of identification. She has a prominent mole on her left cheek.
Say, ain't that funny? You know, the woman who's staying with us has a mole on her face, too, and I couldn't figure out why the papers didn't mention it. Come along, Doc. Down the hall.
Oh, thanks. I'm not coming in. You've told me all I want to know.
What do you mean?
Mary Sanders has a perfectly clear skin with no moles or blemishes on either cheek.
Huh?
You're lying, as I thought.
Well, I'm telling... Hey, Mike, come here.
Don't call any of your friends. I haven't the money with me in case you're thinking of robbing me. And besides, my friend in the car is a detective.
A dick? Hey, listen, you ain't got nothing on me. I just made a mistake about the woman. That ain't a crime.
Maybe the police could find some excuses for locking you up if they searched this house.
Want any help, Doc?
No, Danny. I'm coming.
You tell that dick he can't search my house without a warrant. I know my rights.
Mary's not there, huh, Doc?
No. Come on, Danny. Let's go.
Okay.
That man seems to have reason to fear the police. Otherwise, I'd have been hit on the head long ago. He admitted he'd been lying after I told him you were a detective.
Gosh, you're the wild goose chase. Where to now, Doc?
The Fulton Hospital, where we should have gone in the first place. If that nurse was mistaken, if we don't find Mary there, I'll be almost ready to give up.
Is John destined never to see Mary again? Or was it fate which planned the meeting of David and Mary? Will John Benson go eventually to Craig's Falls to urge Mary to return to Sanders? And what are David's motives in trying to keep from Mary the knowledge that her friends in Sanders are seriously worried about her? And why is he sorry that Father Brady has notified Benson of her presence in Craig's Falls? Is he shielding her because of his honest conviction that she has no desire to see her old friends? Or is he falling in love with her and hoping against hope that you will not be taken from him? Tomorrow at the same time, there'll be another dramatic chapter in the life of Mary Sutherland.